This morning, we'd like to draw your attention to the 16th verse of the first chapter. As Paul is writing to those in Rome, people who he has never yet met or seen, but has had a longing and a desire to go to Rome, to see them, to impart to them some spiritual gift, to receive the mutual benefit of Christian fellowship. He tells them of his readiness to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in Rome. For he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We have been bombarded with tragic news. This week we've heard about a young 12-year-old boy in Los Angeles who killed an elderly woman who had just come from church. He and a gang of fellows had gang raped a 13-year-old girl and were intending to burn the house down so she could not tell what they had done and kill her in the burning house. It's hard for us to conceive or imagine this is happening in Southern California. Flight 800, the bomb that was placed in Atlanta at the Olympics. And it seems like as they start on the news, there's just one horrible, shocking thing after another. So many horrible things are happening that we're almost to the place of getting calloused and not moved or touched because we have been so glutted with horrible news. The word gospel means good news, and it's surely time for some good news. What a wonderful thing if we would turn on television some night and they'd say, you know, this has been a glorious weekend. No one has been shot, and, you know, there have been no robberies, and people have been showing kindness and love, and they'd start telling us about all of the kind and loving things that people were doing. But as long as we're living in this world, such will not be the case. The only good news is that God loves man, and in his love for man, he has provided salvation from the horrors of sin. So in the first verse, as Paul introduces his subject matter to the Romans, the book of Romans is going to be about the good news of God's salvation for sinning man. That God has provided to put away man's sin and to account him righteous before God. And so the good news in verse 1, he says, and verse 2, he says, it concerns his son, Jesus Christ. It was promised by the prophets in the Holy Scriptures that there would be a descendant of David, according to the flesh, who would bring salvation and deliverance to mankind. Promised in the prophets. Isaiah said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. and of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, according to the scriptures, the descendant of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Justice. Oh, how our hearts long for justice. Jeremiah said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." When the angel announced to Mary that she was to conceive and bring forth the Savior into the world, the angel said concerning the Son, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." According to the prophecies, he had to be a descendant of David, but he was declared, Paul said, to be the Son of God with power by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus stands above, separate, and distinct from all other founders of religious systems in the world or in history, because of his resurrection from the dead. Now, this good news, God's offer of salvation to sinning man, is the subject of the book of Romans. Here in chapter 1, Paul will show us how that the whole world is guilty before God, and thus the whole world needs to know this good news of God's forgiveness. Chapter 2 will show that the Gentiles and the Jews are equally guilty. Chapter 3 will show that God has provided justification for all men through faith in Jesus Christ. In chapter 4, he'll show that justification by faith has been a principle of God from the beginning. Chapter 5 will show the results of being justified by faith. Chapter 6 will declare how we've been delivered from the power of the indwelling sin. And chapter 7 will show the worthlessness of self-reformation. Chapter 8 will show God's provision of his Holy Spirit to enable us to do what we could not do, to be what we could not be. And then chapter 9 will show us how that by faith the Gentiles can attain the righteous standing before God, whereas the Jews failed to receive that righteous standing because they sought to justify themselves by their works rather than by their faith in God. Chapter 10, Paul will show that all men must come, Jew and Gentile alike, through Jesus Christ, and whoever will call upon the name of the Lord, Jew or Gentile, will be saved. Chapter 12 will show the worthlessness of reformation. What man needs is to be transformed by the Spirit of God. Chapter 13 shows that love, the fruit of the Spirit, is really the summation of all of the law. And he who loves has fulfilled the law. Chapter 14 gives examples of how we are to walk in love. And chapter 15 is more or less a summation of the book. And chapter 16, he gives the greetings to those in Rome. As you go through the book, I want you to underline what you feel to be the key verses in each chapter. Have your pen and marker ready to mark those things where God is speaking to your heart through this book of Romans. How does it apply to you? What does it mean to you? What does it say to you? The important, salient passages of Scripture through Romans. Paul claims that he's not ashamed of this good news of the Messiah. In Paul's early years, he was caught up in a religious system where man sought to be justified before God by his keeping of the law. Man had made a great mistake in his understanding and interpreting of the law, because he thought that by keeping the law, he could be righteous. But the law was never given nor intended to make man righteous before God. The law was intended to show man what a sinner he was and to make the whole world guilty before God. But Paul was caught in that trap of thinking that by keeping the law he could be righteous, and thus he endeavored to keep the law and came to a tremendous frustration in his own life, finding his inability to keep the law. In the 7th chapter, Paul expresses this frustration. He said, I do things that I do not approve of. I don't do the things that I know I should. I hate the things that I am doing. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there just dwells no good thing. I desire to do good, but I can't seem to perform up to my desires. And the good that I would, I don't do. Sort of sounds like the last verse of that song. The evil that I do not want to do is what I'm doing. I find that there's sort of a perverse law in me that when I would do good, evil is present with me. I am a wretched man. Who will help me? Paul threw overboard all of the endeavors at good works in his past life when he came to the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, this good news of salvation, that Christ died for our sins, and that a man is justified from all of the evil that he has ever done through his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And thus, having come to this good news, having been justified of his past sins, Paul is more than eager to share this good news with all men. So I'm ready also, he said, to come to Rome and to share there the good news, because I'm not ashamed of the good news. God's power unto salvation. I think of the power of God to transform a person's life. What a joy, what a thrill, what a blessing it is to see the lives that have been transformed by this good news. To see the changes that have been wrought in the lives of people who have come to know and to understand God's love and God's forgiveness of their sins. To see how God transforms a person from darkness to light. I think of the prophecy concerning Jesus in Isaiah 61, where it said he would actually give them joy for sorrow, beauty for ashes. And how we have seen that over and over again. Lives that have been down and out and yet transformed by this good news. The power of God to change, to transform. To free a person from that bondage to sin. From drugs, alcoholism, pornography. And the various ways by which a person is bound in darkness, but the power of God to set them free. We speak of salvation, power of God unto salvation, but it is not just being saved from the bondage in sin, but it's being saved from the wrath of God that's going to come against those who continue in sin. In verse 18, Paul goes on to say, "For the wrath of God shall be revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men who hold the truth of God in unrighteousness." Ungodliness is a violation of the first table of the law, the first four commandments. It is not living as you should in a right relationship with God. In Exodus chapter 20, it said, "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am Jehovah thy God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make unto thee any graven image or likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, Jehovah thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation, and showing my mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Jehovah thy God in vain, for Jehovah will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy." But the second table of the law dealt with unrighteousness. In the second table of the law, God said, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which Jehovah thy God gives to you. You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, and you're not to covet your neighbor's house or wife or manservant or maidservant or ox or donkey or anything that is thy neighbor's." So, to violate that constituted unrighteousness. And God's wrath is going to be revealed from heaven against the ungodliness and the unrighteousness of man. Now, Paul will show us tonight in our study the extent of the ungodliness and the unrighteousness of man in this world and how it progresses from not glorifying God as God, not being thankful for what God has done, and how the path just goes downhill from there. This offer of salvation, the good news, Paul said, is to everyone that believeth. God's offer of salvation is not just exclusively to the Jews. It's to the whole world. Jesus said, "Whosoever believeth in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life." We have four kids growing up, so that when something was broken around the house, we would never know just who did it. And quite often, things would break and no one would confess to it. So we'd say, "Well, nobody did it. You know, it just fell apart by itself." But now that all the kids are gone, when Kay says, "Someone left a footprint on the carpet," I start singing that old song that we used to sing in church years ago. "Whosoever surely meaneth me." I mean, someone, you know, left. Yeah, well, I'm the only one. So, whosoever. the offer of salvation, this good news, is to whosoever. It is given to all. God's offer to forgive sins, to cleanse from unrighteousness, to deliver you from the wrath of God which is to come. It's an offer God makes to each one today. And whosoever will may believe and receive justification, the forgiveness, the cleansing from any and all sin. Oh, what a glorious message of hope and salvation is given to us through this wonderful gospel that Paul proclaimed and that we have received. Father, we thank you today for this glorious gospel whereby we have been cleansed from our sins, forgiven, declared innocent. Lord, we pray for those today who do not yet know this wonderful good news of your love and offer of forgiveness. And may this be the day that you set them free from the power of sin. May this be the day in which they experience the power of God within their lives to enable them to do what they could not in their own efforts accomplish, to be all, Lord, that you would have us to be. And Lord, may we as Paul be ready to proclaim the gospel to the needy world in which we live, not ashamed of this glorious gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to all who will believe. May we be faithful, Lord, in sharing that good news to a dying world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? God has offered his salvation. God has offered his love. It is our move. You either accept it or reject it. God has made provisions. You either accept or reject. But I'd encourage you today, if you've not yet received Jesus Christ, the good news of God's offer to freely forgive you of all sins, God's offer to bring you into his family and to make you a part of the family, I would encourage you to receive that offer today. Go back to the prayer room and there just open your heart to the Lord and you will experience the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray that God will be with you and bless you through the week. We had a fabulous week this week. God's been so good. We were with the high school kids first part of the week up at the conference center. What a joy and blessing to see God working in their lives. Great day at Murrieta yesterday. Appreciate everyone who came down and helped. We accomplished so much. You want to come down next weekend? You'll be blessed and you'll have a blessing too. You just cannot give without receiving. It's sort of a biblical principle. And so come on down and lend a hand. We've Got to get that thing ready for this fall. But may this be a great week as we look forward to what God is going to do in our lives in this coming week. Pray for us. We'll be going back up to the high school camp tomorrow. We have 450 high schoolers coming in for this next week. And we're just praying that God will just do a tremendous work in their lives. And it's really so exciting to see how God is using these facilities that he has provided through his great love. We've been so blessed. And I know that you hear about our camp up there at Green Valley Lake. We talk about it a lot. You need to see it. You need to see what God is doing through it. We've had over 41,000 kids pass through that camp thus far in just the 3 years that we've been in operation. And it just grows year by year. And to see the transformation of these lives, you need to see it. We encourage you, just drive up and take a look. It's a beautiful place. And same with Murrieta. God is blessing there, and he's so good. The conference center, the Bible school. You need to see these places because really, they're yours. They belong to the body of Christ. They're facilities that God has made available for his people to just draw close to him. A place of just seeing his beauty and enjoying what God has wrought. So take a look around at some of your facilities. You'll be amazed at what you own. And it's glorious to see God's work. May the Lord now watch over you, keep you in his love, fill you with his Spirit.